Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. In many ways, Utah's primary season was nasty. The Attorney General's race featured negative ads and a defamation lawsuit. The U.S. Senate race featured a debate with a cardboard cutout. It was also an expensive endeavor, with out-of-state super PACs and corporations pouring millions into campaigns. From U.S. Senate to State Attorney General, Tuesday's election firms up just who will be the contenders in November's election, but is still too close to call in the Salt Lake County mayor's race. Today on the program, we're recapping highlights and low points from the 2012 campaign season so far and the choices you, the voters, will face in November. Joining me in studio is Matthew Burbank, an associate professor of political science at the University of Utah. And Matthew, thanks so much for your time again.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Kelly Patterson is a political science professor and a senior research fellow at the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy at Brigham Young University. And Kelly, great to have you here as well.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Later on in the program, we'll shift gears and talk about a new memoir about fixing up a sugar house bungalow and becoming an adult. But first, election 2012. What sent you to the polls yesterday? How do you think the results will shape outcomes this fall? You can give us a call and join us. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Gentlemen, we'll get to some specifics as we go, but what are your general impressions of this primary election season? Any general conclusions you've made up until yesterday? Matthew, let's start with you.
Well, I think the big issue that many people were looking at was the question of turnout, because this, of course, is sort of a bad time for a primary election in the sense that it's clearly into summer, and it was the last in the presidential election cycle on the Republican side. And one of the questions, of course, is, you know, is anybody really going to be interested enough to show up? And it turns out that they were. And that I think that one of the things that this is a good indicator for, of course, is Republicans and their interest come in going into the general elections in the fall. And I think the signs there are that Republicans are very interested and fired up, and certainly with Romney at the top of the ticket, that should attract some real strong voter turnout in the state of Utah.
37% of registered Republicans cast ballots, 45% here in Salt Lake County. Kelly Patterson, did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, it always surprises a political scientist when you see large turnout in these off-year down-ballot races. I mean, it's one thing to turn out to vote for presidential election, but as Matt was saying, there was a big turnout for a primary election, and part of that is just the historic nature of having Mitt Romney on the ticket. People turned out to vote for him in 2008, and this time around, even with him having already clinched the nomination, I mean, in 2012, this was a big turnout. I think the other thing I would add to what's different about this cycle is the Tea Party and its, I guess, waning influence in the affairs of the rank and file party. In 2010, they promised us that they weren't going to be a one dog or one pony show, and yet this time around they just didn't seem to do what they wanted to do.
Did that surprise you? I mean, sometimes these movements from the fringes, the edges of the spectrum, will gain some steam, but then they sort of peter out. Is that...
I think that's one of the things that we can probably talk about if you would like. Oftentimes, in political parties in the United States, you see these movements from the outside, and they come into a party, and they can disrupt the normal sort of ebb and flow of the party, but then they don't institutionalize themselves, or they're subsumed in the larger, broader movement of the party. And I think in the case of the Tea Party movement, they didn't institutionalize themselves the right way. Still a powerful force, still representative of the conservative wing of the party, but clearly not going to have the same kind of impact in 2012 as it did in 2010.
Speaking with Kelly Patterson, a political science professor at Brigham Young University, also Matt Burbank, an associate professor of political science at the University of Utah. We're talking about election 2012 and the primaries that occurred yesterday across the state. 801-355-TALK is our number if you'd like to join us. Let's go into some of the specifics races that we were talking about. The highly contested race in Salt Lake County, of course, is for county mayor. Mike Winder versus Mark Crockett. Let's start with that squeaker. Mark Crockett just pulled off a very narrow lead, 239 votes separating him from Mike Winder. Why so close? I mean, going in from the Republican convention, the spread was a little wider, but it really narrowed in the end. Why do you think that is, Matt Birnbank?
Well, I think that one of the things that you saw in this race was that the Republicans, both at the convention, had a number of candidates to select from, narrowed it down to these two. In the primary, what you saw, I think, was both candidates had some real strengths and had some real appeal. Crockett used a philosophy that is tried and true in the Republican Party, that is essentially saying government needs to run more like business, and I can do that. I've got the experience to do that. And Winder was somebody who had a strong track record representing an area that we don't normally think of as being terribly Republican, but was quite successful in West Valley City. And I think what you saw there were two candidates who were both well qualified for that office. They were both well funded. They were both competitive. They were willing to engage in the campaign very seriously. There were a large number of debates. And as a result, I think Republicans were sort of spoiled for choice in that sense, that they had a hard time choosing between these two very good candidates. And of course, going into the fall, what you're likely to see is, again, a very strongly competitive race, because the Democrats also have a very strong candidate in Ben McAdams for that position.
Mm-hmm. Ideologically, not much separating Mike Winder and Mark Crockett.
No,
so what did voters go on? What swayed them one way or the other?
Well, at this point, the campaign becomes pretty important, and because that does allow them to—that's the means by which they differentiate themselves. And so Mark Crockett, as Matt was saying, is going to champion his kind of business experience and his experiences already on the county council. Winder has a huge base of support. I mean, West Valley City is a large electoral jurisdiction. And as Matt was saying, there are a lot of Republican votes out there. We don't think of it as a Republican enclave, but there are a lot of Republican votes out there. And people liked him out there. You can say a lot of things about what he did out there, but he was a champion for West Valley, and something that, kind of this electoral jurisdiction that often feels like it's the redheaded stepchild. And he was a champion for that and was very popular there. And so once you have a history of when people have a history of voting for you, then that's good. You can count on that, and you have to go out of your way to get, to push people away from voting for you.
Mm. He racked up a lot of recommendations from his fellow Republicans, including former governor and presidential candidate John Huntsman. Did that make any difference? Do endorsements make any difference, Kelly Patterson?
Well, endorsements do make a difference, especially in these kinds of races in which it's really hard to differentiate between the candidates. If it's hard to differentiate between the candidates, then you want something else to help you try and make the choice. And who lines up behind certain candidates matters, because you can take a cue from them. You can say, oh, yeah, I know Governor Huntsman. I trust him. I voted for him. And so that helps you kind of overcome any sort of a doubt or uncertainty you might have about the candidate.
Mm-hmm. Mike Winder, of course, was also embroiled in a scandal recently, the Richard Burwash pen name scandal, if you want to call it that. He wrote some pro-West Valley pieces that were published in the Deseret News and some other publications. Matt Birnbank, how much do you think that affected Republicans, Republican voters? I mean, did that scandal stick when people got to the ballot box, do you think?
I think it certainly might have. And again, given how close this election was, it is the sort of thing that could, in fact, have been decisive. One of the reasons for that is because while for people in the broader world, this may not seem to be a big issue, it was an issue because it went to the question of his credibility. And that, given again that there wasn't a big ideological difference between them, given that they were both well qualified, it was the sort of thing that voters could say, I just have this kind of question about why he did that and what exactly happened and, what was he thinking when he did that? That could raise enough doubts. And when you have another very strong candidate to vote for, that may well make a difference.
Mm. Mark Crockett won only one term on the Salt Lake County Council. He lost to Janie Iwamoto in in 2008. This is an issue that Mike Winder exploited during this campaign and sort of raised the question, can Mark Crockett win a countywide race? What's the answer to that question, Kelly Patterson? What do you think?
Yes, he can. There are enough Republican voters in Salt Lake County that he can win that race. And I think he's got the wind at his back because Mitt Romney's going to be at the head of the ticket in 2012. And as Matt was saying earlier, that's going to energize turnout. And so you're going to have a lot of Republicans who are going to come out and vote. And a lot of those Republicans are going to just vote a straight ticket. And I think that's good for him. But on the other hand, Salt Lake County has proven to be the most competitive jurisdiction in our state. That's where Democrats can be successful here, time and time again. We've seen that. And so it's by no means a slam dunk.
The Democrat in this race, whoever wins the verdict on this recount, Mike Winder or Mark Crockett, will face the Democrat Ben McAdams. Matt Burbank, you say that McAdams is a very strong candidate. He's raised more money than either Winder or Crockett. Tell us more about McAdams and the kind of campaign you foresee this summer.
McAdams is a state legislator, very closely tied to Ralph Becker in the city of Salt Lake, and is well known in Democratic circles, is well known because of his time in the state legislature, is very well liked, I think is very well respected, and is somebody who managed to avoid having a primary at the Democratic convention, and that was seen as a fairly strong victory. And so he's been in the enviable position of being able to sit back, gather money, prepare his campaign, and I think as we see the summer progress, you'll see that campaign develop. I fully expect it's going to be very highly competitive. And again, what we're likely to see, I think, are very well-qualified candidates in a county which is, as Kelly was just saying, has been very competitive. And so that election could go either way. I think that McAdams is, again, somebody who has kind of a strong political vision. He fits nicely within the Democratic Party, but he's certainly the kind of candidate which Republicans, I think, can cross over and vote for as well. So it really will be up for grabs.
So a Democrat, you know, Peter Caroon has held this office since 2005, a very popular county mayor, and yet Governor Herbert took Salt Lake County in the last election. So it is a toss-up. And in many ways, you look at the demographics here and you think, oh, it's clear-cut, but it really isn't. Kelly Patterson.
Yeah, it's going to be a question of mobilization. And I think early on, the Republican Party in the state figured out that mobilization is key in Salt Lake County and put a great deal of effort into trying to identify those voters who would vote permanent absentee or vote early and get them out and bank them. That's one of the things that political parties can do really well, is identify their base of support and try and bank that vote. I think that's the test for the Democratic Party, to see whether or not they can get those individuals who lean Democratic or want to vote Democratic and get them out to vote. Most electoral jurisdictions, not necessarily in the state of Utah, but kind of around the country, have a larger number of individuals who identify themselves as Democrats. It's also a party that doesn't have the same high rates of turnouts as Republican constituencies do. So Democrats have this mobilization barrier or obstacle that they have to overcome. And so this will be a test, I think, for the Democratic Party in this very Republican year, to see whether or not they can pick off a couple of these very important races, because picking off these races is really important for the long-term future of the Democratic Party in the state. You can't have a future unless you have some sort of farm team, if you have some sort of set of candidates waiting in the wings who can then step up and contest for those statewide offices. And that's why I think the Democrats are going to see this Salt Lake County election as very important for them.
Mm. Kelly Patterson, a political scientist from Brigham Young University, Matthew Burbank, political scientist from the University of Utah. We're talking about election 2012, yesterday's primaries, and what it all means for the campaign ahead. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. GOP faithful flocked to the polls yesterday with a whopping 45% of registered Republicans casting ballots here in Salt Lake County, 37% statewide. Voters favored Senator Orrin Hatch and Attorney General candidate John Swallow by double digits. They favored Mitt Romney by 93%. But the Salt Lake County mayor's race is still up for grabs. Joining me to help process what happened yesterday is Kelly Patterson. He's a political science professor and a senior research fellow at the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy at Brigham Young University. Also in studio, Matthew Burbank, associate professor of political science at the University of Utah. And you can join us as well. What gave you hope during the campaign? What gave you pause? Who did you support and why? Give us your impressions of campaign 2012 so far. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. One of the highest profile campaigns involved this young upstart Tea Party candidate, Dan Lilienquist, versus a six-term Senator Orrin Hatch. Kelly Patterson, first, what did you make of Hatch's run for a seventh term?
It was a run that was not going to leave anything to chance. I mean, having seen what happened to Senator Bennett in the last cycle, that campaign raised a great deal of money and went all out to identify delegates and to drive turnout to the neighborhood caucuses. And then after that, never let its foot off the gas. I mean, it did everything it could to gather endorsements, to raise money, and to run a campaign. So he ran as if he were the underdog all the time. And that's what you need to do, I think. That's what politicians tend to do, is run scared. And he ran scared. And I think he can be pretty happy with the turnout and the results.
You're nodding. Matt Burbank.
Yes, and although we should note a very well-funded underdog in that sense, because he had a lot of resources and he was very willing to use those resources. And again, I doubt there's anybody in the state of Utah who did not see Orrin Hatch multiple times on television leading up to this primary. And again, with very big name endorsements, you know, former governors, Mitt Romney. And so that was something where, again, as Kelly said, he really pulled out all the stops to make sure that there were no surprises in this primary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the perks of being an incumbent is the ability to raise money. And he raised money, but you have to want to spend the money, and he did that too. So, and then appearing all the time with Mitt Romney, it's as if they were twins separated at birth. I mean, that's an important endorsement. That's how endorsements can matter, especially in these lower profile sorts of races.
Sure. Dan Lilienquist, he's pretty young, just 37 years old, a former state senator, very concerned about national debt. Did he ever have a chance? Did he have a realistic chance of pulling off this upset? What do you think, Kelly Patterson?
There's always a chance. The probability in these races is never zero. But I don't think they were good after the convention. Mm-hmm. I think once Senator Hatch was able to demonstrate his strength and his fundraising prowess that he was going to take this race very seriously, and that other Republicans started lining up behind Senator Hatch, it became a tough uphill fight for him. Now, we did a survey. We had a survey out in the field with Key Research that did a wonderful poll in collaboration with the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy. And one of the things that came out in that poll was that Dan Lilienquist has high favorability ratings. People like him. And as one of my colleagues said in a blog post on UtahDataPoints.com, he does have a future in statewide politics, not just quite yet.
Mm-hmm. He did try, I mean, to his credit, he did try to engage. You know, he staged a debate with the cardboard cutout, something of a stunt. In the end, he finally got one live debate with Orrin Hatch on KSL radio, no video allowed. What did you make of the hesitation on Orrin Hatch's part to, you know, openly spar with Lilienquist? What did that, you know, what does that mean, Matt Burbank?
Well, I think that's a tried and true strategy when you're the incumbent and you're well funded. That the one thing that really could have changed the dynamics of this race for Senator Hatch was a big mistake. And that's what he did not want to have, is a big mistake that would then show up on YouTube and be repeated over and over again. That would be the sort of thing which could have raised a doubt in many voters' minds about whether they should go vote for Orrin Hatch yet once again. And I think the campaign knew from its internal polling that it was going to do fine, that Lilienquist's charge that Senator Hatch was not willing to engage hurt him a little bit, but just not very much. And when you were sitting on the kind of lead that Senator Hatch was, and you could have the kind of advertising that he could afford to have, there really was no reason for him to engage in a long series of debates. So I think it was, you know, in campaign terms, it was a very sound tactic. Now, in terms of, you know, for political scientists who want to see an engaging election, it wasn't quite as interesting as it could have been. I think it, you know, there would have been a little more public interest as well. But still, I think the Hatch campaign did the right thing in that sense, and that they knew they were ahead and there was no reason to risk anything.
Playing it safe. Yes. You both alluded to the just massive amount of money that Orrin Hatch was able to raise, $10 million. Where did this money come from, Matt Burbank?
Well, most of that money, quite frankly, is money that is raised by people who are looking at Senator Hatch, that they've contributed to him in the past. These are generally national groups. They're national individuals outside of the state of Utah who are looking at Senator Hatch and thinking, yes, if Republicans take over the Senate, and there's a very good chance that they will, and he becomes chair of the Finance Committee, that's a terribly important position, and you want to have supported him and helped him in his reelection process, because big banks, credit unions, all kinds of people and organizations are going to be influenced by the kind of legislation that goes through that committee. And so even though we look at this as a Utah race, it had national implications in the sense that if you're sitting on chairing a major committee like that in the Senate, you're terribly important to lots and lots of people in the United States.
Mm. Yeah, political action committees give money for two basic reasons: access or ideology. And on that score, Senator Hatch has both going for him. He's going to get money from ideological PACs who like his stance on various social and economic issues, and he's going to draw contributions from across the economic spectrum because the federal government regulates so many of these industries, and these national associations and these industries give for access.
Mm. So Hatch goes on to face the Democrat in the race, Scott Howell, former state senator. Briefly, profile Howell for us. What do we know about Scott Howell?
Well, I think he's the quintessential Democratic hope, right? He's someone who's held elective office before. He's a moderate on fiscal matters. Will try and differentiate himself on some issues. With regard to the economy and the military and on some social issues. But for the most part, it's going to be a moderate race for him so he's going to have to try and mobilize that Democratic support, and he's going to have to try and get those moderate Republicans to cross over. It's almost the same sort of strategy that Representative Matheson has followed for all of his reelection campaigns, where he gets 90% of the Democratic base to vote for him, and at the same time has to figure out a way to take those moderate Republicans, 25, 30, 35, in some cases 40% of them, depending on the district, but here it's statewide. So we're talking around 30 to 35% of those moderate Republicans to vote for him to even make this race close.
Walking the line. But, I mean, Romney's at the top of the ticket. Hatch has this huge war chest fund. The odds are against Scott Howell. So, Matt Burbank, I mean, what does he have to do or say to sway not only the Democrats, but Republicans, a sizable chunk of Republicans, to vote for him?
Well, I think the major theme that you're likely to hear from the Howell campaign is going to be the fact that Senator Hatch has been in office so long. And much like Lilienquist was arguing, I think you're going to see the same thing from the Democrats, just making the argument that here's a guy who's been there a very long time. He's part of the problem, not part of the solution. We really need to make a change. again, I think there's some sympathy for that because as we've seen, there was early on with Senator Hatch, I think there was more concern about was this going to be a big weakness for him, particularly among Republican delegates. And what will likely happen, I think, is that the Howell campaign will certainly pick up on that. They unfortunately are you know, don't have a huge amount of other kind of ideological positions where they can position themselves in places that will be more favorable with the electorate of Utah than Senator Hatch can. So I think you're going to see a lot of talk about this kind of longevity in Washington and trying to make that into a major issue because it's one of the few things they have that could possibly gain some traction.
Mm-hmm. Matt's spot on this one. This is going to be a very tough road to hoe for the Howell campaign because people do not like Washington, D.C., and they do not like the partisan politics. They do not like the bickering, and they see such things as the debt and other kinds of issues that problems that have not been solved. And so Senator Howell is going to say Orrin Hatch has had his chance to solve these problems, hasn't solved these problems. But the problem is that you have 60% of the Utah electorate that identifies itself as Republican. And so they're going to come to this campaign already disposed to believe that the reason why the problem hasn't been solved is because of the Democrats who are in Washington, D.C. So it's a very hard argument to make.
We're speaking with Kelly Patterson, a political science professor and a senior research fellow at the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy at BYU. Matt Burbank is an associate professor of political science at the University of Utah, and we're sort of processing all of the information from Campaign 2012 if you'd like to join us. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. One of the surprisingly contentious races up until this point is the Utah Attorney General's race. Sean Reyes, of course, challenging John Swallow. Swallow pulls it out with 68%, I believe. I mean, it was a sizable margin. Reyes, a former partner at Utah's largest law firm, arguing that the AG's office needs to be run more like a law firm. Voters didn't go along with that assessment, I suppose. They voted for John Swallow. How would you characterize this particular race, Matt Burbank?
Again, it was surprising in the sense that these are the kinds of decisions that usually get made within the party, in the sense that it was surprising that this went to a primary. But Reyes showed quite a bit of strength among Republican delegates, and that's what got this into the primary. One of the reasons I say it's surprising is because Swallow is working now within the Attorney General's office, was clearly supported by the sitting Attorney General, Mark Shurtleff. And so ordinarily in Republican circles, that would be enough to get you the nomination. And so Reyes, again, made a fairly strong argument. He's not somebody who is that well-known politically. He's well-known in legal circles, but he again, at the convention, managed to convince delegates that it would be good to have a primary here. And the primary actually became sort of surprisingly nasty, given the charges and countercharges over questions about campaign finance, about questions of ethics, and that's something which, again, is, you know, really kind of a difficult thing for attorney general candidates to deal with, because that's an issue where, I mean, that's an office where trust is just terribly important. Anybody who's voting for an attorney general wants to believe that this is a person who will first and foremost put the interests of the people in the state of Utah first, and that will guide their legal strategy more than anything else.
There were anti-Reyes messages going on out there, anti-Swallow messages. These ads supported by super PACs from out of state. Why did out of state super PACs get involved in this race? Kelly Patterson?
Because political parties are simply more than the state institutions. Political parties are networks of like-minded individuals. And John Swallow has been in that Republican network for a long period of time and cultivated a lot of relationships with many of these conservative groups. And I think when he needed some help and thought he needed some help, I think they were willing to come in. Now, you can't coordinate with the super PACs.
Sure.
But the whole point here is that you have this large social network that becomes a political network that is made up of like-minded individuals and who are able to raise money and insert themselves into these campaigns because they see in the race a fellow traveler, if you will.
Mm.
And attorney generals have a great deal of influence, not just on state politics anymore, but on national politics. I mean, lest we forget, it was, you know, attorney generals who decided to file lawsuits against, you know, the health care plan and some of these other major issues that are on the national stage. So when these attorney generals get together in their national association, whether Republicans or Democrats or, you know, the bipartisan association, they can have an effect on national politics. So what I see the super PAC influence as is just this further nationalization of politics in the United States, that what's done on the state level has implications for what's done on the national level, and that the state level actually has influence, significant influence, on important public policy. And so there's no such thing as an insignificant office anymore for many of these ideological groups.
Mm. Sean Reyes, one of his surprising moves last weekend, filed a defamation suit naming John Swallow. Mm. Was that a good move? Did it affect the results of yesterday's primary at all, do you think, Kelly Patterson?
Probably not. In the average voter's mind, it's just one more charge and countercharge and one more indication to the average voter that these campaigns have turned increasingly nasty. The nastiness or the negativeness of the negativity of a campaign generally serve to turn voters off.
Mm.
They demobilize voters, and it becomes increasingly difficult when these charges and countercharges are going back and forth for your average voter to kind of sort through them and say, yeah, one person is really the instigator here and somebody else isn't, and someone's lying and somebody else isn't lying. It voters tend to say pox on both houses.
Mm. Is the nastiness over, Matt Burbank? I mean, what do you think the race between John Swallow and the Democrat, D. Smith, is going to look like going forward?
Well, I think there's a potential for more of this kind of nastiness, simply because one of the things that the Republican primary did was raise a series of issues, including in the case of Swallow, who now has the Republican nomination, about whether, in fact, he's already got plans for moving consumers into the consumer protection into the attorney general's office. And that is something that the governor was surprised by and that other people had not heard of, but apparently was, John Swallow's plan. Those are the kinds of things I think that are very likely to come back in the election. The advantage that Swallow has now, of course, is that it's unlikely that the Democrat in this case is going to be well-funded. It's unlikely that it's going to be closely competitive. And so I think he's going to be more in a position to kind of be able to take a step back and to talk about the kinds of things that Swallow can talk about, the kinds of things that he thinks are going to be important, and not worry too much about whatever charges the Democrats may raise, because, again, other things being equal, he's very likely to win this election. And unless things go very badly for him in the campaign, then again, you might see some response to those kinds of Democratic charges.
Mm-hmm. Another race, the state auditor's race, kind of generated some heat, which was surprising. The state auditor's race is usually not testy, but John Dougal was the victor over Austin Johnson, who's held that post for the past 18 years. Frugal Dougal, I guess it was a message that resonated. What do you think, Kelly Patterson?
Yeah, campaigns do matter, especially in some of those lower profile races. Matt and I were talking about this right before. It's like you get into the ballot, I mean, you get into the voting booth, and you think, what? I get to actually choose who the auditor is? I mean, average voter isn't usually clued into such races as the state auditor. But I think what's really important to note here is that government has power, and no matter what that office is, it can pull the levers of power, and so it really matters to certain ideological groups. And I think that's what we saw going here, was that someone who was in office who wasn't as responsive, if you will, to certain sort of ideological or partisan sorts of wishes, and so they mounted a pretty aggressive campaign against him.
It also appears that the state legislature is going to be changing a bit. I noticed Representative Bill Wright lost in a primary. Casey Anderson lost in a primary. Brad Galvez, Neil Hendrickson, Brad Daw. I mean, there's kind of a changing of the guard. Do you have any sense of what this could mean for the next legislative session come 2013? Matt Burbank?
I wouldn't expect it'll have a big impact. Some of these primaries were a result of the fact of redistricting, and some of them were, a product of sort of internal debates within the party. I don't think there's, at least from the primary results that we've seen so far, a kind of clear, broader message or anything to akin to a kind of Tea Party uprising or, you know, revenge of the moderates or anything like that. I don't think that's happening. The Wright election, I think, was one where the message may well be kind of, you know, watch the high profile legislation, because in some ways I think that may have been the case where some of his constituents kind of looked at that and said, I'm not sure that's really the legislation I was, you know, most hoping that he would try to promote. That is the legislation dealing with sex education, which was vetoed by the governor, passed but was vetoed by the governor. That's a case where that may actually have hurt him a little bit, because there was a little bit of notoriety there, and that may have played into this primary election.
Mm-hmm. Our time is short, but we've been referring to Mitt Romney throughout this discussion. Republicans already have a supermajority here in the state of Utah. What does Mitt Romney's effect when he can garner 93% in a primary? I mean, what does that say about the possibility of more balance in the state? And what does it say for partisan politics? Kelly Patterson?
Well, I think in the short term, what it means for the Democratic Party is a strong headwind in the fall elections, because turnout for Republicans is going to be high.
Mm-hmm. How high? What do you think, Matt Burbank?
Hard to say. I mean, the turnout recently in Utah has been relatively low. And so I think what you will see is that Utah begins to actually look more like our surrounding states. That is that, you know, rather than being sort of in the 50 range, we may be more into the 60% range. But again, largely what that's going to mean is that's bringing kind of Republicans who otherwise, for example, weren't all that excited about voting for John McCain back into the race. Likely they're going to vote Republican and perhaps even straight ticket Republican. And again, that could have a real impact on, down ballot races. So.
Mm-hmm. Matt Burbank, we're going to have to leave it there. Matt Burbank is an associate professor of political science at the University of Utah. Matt, great to see you. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And Kelly Patterson, a political science professor and senior research fellow at the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy at BYU. And Kelly, thanks to you as well. We'll have to do this again, gentlemen.
Always a pleasure.
Coming up next, rehabbing a sugar house crack house and building an adult life. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City.